Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. Amma ba'd. Fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah. وَعِلَىٰ آلِكَ وَأَصْحَابِكَ يَا نُورَ اللَّهِ. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another beautiful episode of the Silsila, The Early Echo. Wherever you are in the world, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. Don't forget, when you are making dua for yourself, for your family, for your community, then remember the Ummah also. Make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, that for the sake of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, then he azza wa jal grants relief to the ummah, shifa to those who are sick and suffering, maghfirah to those who have passed on, and protection against the oppressors. I hope that you are having a splendid and beautiful Ramadan. Ramadan is finally here, subhanallah azza wa jal. And there's mercies, there's bounties, there's blessings that are descending every moment of this magical month of Ramadan Kareem, Ramadan Mubarak. And fortunate are those who are taking advantage of these things. And deprived and most unfortunate are those who are unchanged, that Ramadan is there. And even after Ramadan, there's a status quo. There's no change. How they were before Ramadan, they're the same after Ramadan. There's no positive, productive, spiritual change in their lives. So, do we want to become like those people? Today we are going to be talking about effective ways of utilizing our time, especially in this glorious month of Ramadan Kareem. So stay tuned for that discussion. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So let's make some good intentions. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to this silsila for your pleasure and happiness. For the pleasure of your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what I learn, I will try to practice. I will try to share with others as well. This is so important. Remember, in Ramadan, a nafil is equal to the reward of a fard. And the fard is multiplied 70 times. This is the peak investment period for the believers, for the Muslims. Take full advantage of it. Don't waste away the precious time of the blessed month of Ramadan. Don't waste away your precious life. Life is slipping by 1 second at a time, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day, 1 month, 1 year at a time. It is going by. So let's be smart. Let's be wise. Let's be intelligent. And plan and prepare for the grave and for the afterlife as well. Dear viewers and listeners, it is in our own benefit if we strive to do our best to fulfill our purpose. And what is our purpose? And do you know, this is one of the main reasons that droves of people in their hundreds, in their thousands, I'm embracing Islam. Because it has the solutions to every problem out there. It has the ideal, most practical blueprints on how to live this short life to gain the maximum benefit. It's transparent. It is clear. It is this clarity. Your do's, your don'ts. That's it. Subhanallah Subhan. And so people are looking for direction. Islam provides it. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And so for you and I, our purpose is to worship Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this mindset we must create. What kind of a mindset? That how best can I live this short, precious life to please my Creator Azza wa Jal. my nourisher, my sustainer, the one to whom I'm going to return to sooner than I realize. It's going to happen all of a sudden. We will get the visit from Malakul Maut alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good maut, a shaheed maut in Ramadan, whilst fasting, on a Jumu'ah, in Madina Tayyibah, burial in Jannatul Baqi, and entry without accountability into Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen bijahin Nabil Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let's watch a lovely kalam and we'll continue with this discussion on effectively utilizing our time. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Dil ko sukoon chaman mein na hai laal azar mein sozo gudaz فقط ان کے دیار میں سوز و گداز ہے فقط ان کے دیار میں دل کو سکون چمن ملا یا مصطفیٰ بلائیے اپنے دیار میں یا مصطفیٰ بلائیے اپنے دیار میں سرکار پھر لال زار میں سرکار آؤں تیبہ کے پھر لال زار میں دل کو سکون چمن ملا ہر سالیہ الہی مجھے حج نصیب ہو ہر سالیہ الہی مجھے حج نصیب ہو جب تک جیوں میں عالم ناپائیدار میں جب تک جیوں میں عالم ناپائیدار میں دل کو سکون چمن ملا ہر سال غازری ہو مدینے کی خیر سے ہر سال غازری ہو مدینے کی خیر سے ہر سال کاش آؤں میں تیرے دیار میں ہر سال کاش آؤں میں تیرے دیار کو سکون چمن ملا افسوس گھٹتی جا رہی ہے روز زندگی پر میں دبا ہی جاتا ہوں اسی کے بار میں پر میں دبا ہی جاتا ہوں اسی کے بار میں تجھ کو حسن حسین کا دیتا ہوا واسطہ تجھ کو حسن حسین کا دیتا ہوا واسطہ اللہ موت دے مجھے ان کے دیار میں اللہ موت دے مجھے ان کے دیار میں دل کو سکون چمن میں نہ بدکار و نابکار کا ایمان یا نبی بدکار و نابکار کا ایمان یا نبی محفوظ رکھنا آپ کے ہے اختیار میں محفوظ رکھنا آپ کے ہے اختیار میں دل کو سکون چمن میں نہ کرتے رہو یہ حق سے دعا میرے بھائیوں عطار کو دے موت نبی کے دیار میں عطار کو دے موت نبی کے دیار میں سارا اندھیرا دور سما ہو گنور سارا دھیرا دور سما ہوگا نور نور عطار جب وہ آئیں گے تیرے مزار میں عطار جب وہ آئیں گے تیرے مزار میں دل کو سکون چمن میں نہ ہے لالہ زار میں سوزو گداز ہے فقط ان کے دیار میں دل کو سکون چمن میں نہ
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla, I'm sure you enjoyed that lovely kalam. These kalams are there to also to develop the love of Allah and His Rasul. Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts, the love of Sahaba Ikram, Ahlul Bayt, the Athar, and the Awliya Allah. Continue listening, reciting, get your offspring used to it, used to listening and reciting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us for Hajj and Umrah time and again. Take us to visit Medina Sharif, Aqsa Sharif time and again. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We've always been for the last couple of months, when as soon as Rajab Sharif was nearing, the excitement started. Rajab is here, very soon it will be Sha'ban, and very soon it will be Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. Many already started their preparations by fasting, by giving out their zakah, lillah, sadaqat, charities. Sha'ban came, we thought, how fast Rajab went by. Allahu Akbar. And Sha'ban, Shabi Bara'at, Laylatul Bara'a came. 2 weeks left for Ramadan. And then 5 days left and 2 days left. The excitement was building up. Did you know that the glorious Sahaba Anihim Ridwan, the honorable companions, they would discharge their zakah in the month of Sha'ban. They would give the Muslims, the poor Muslims, their zakah. And that would have multiple benefits. One, it would free the Sahaba alayhim ridwan, it would free them to dedicate their time to ibadat and extra ibadat. Because now they don't have to worry about, doing the calculations of their zakah, of their jewelry, or of their businesses. That all was done already. So I can reserve my time for ibadat in Ramadan. Subhanallah. And on the other hand, the poor Muslims, they were able to prepare properly for Ramadan, for sahur, sehri, and iftari as well. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. But it doesn't mean that we must not give any sadaqat in Ramadan. This is the peak investment period. Even if it means giving one khajur, one date, or one sip of water, one sip of milk to a fasting person, Allahu Akbar. The person will get the reward of that fasting person without any reduction in the reward of the fasting person. Look at that, look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know, first 10 days of mercy, next 10 days of forgiveness, next 10 days freedom from the fire. We need all of that because we are dependent on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are dependent upon His blessings, His forgiveness. We are dependent upon Him forgiving us and not entering us into the hellfire. We are in need of those things. It's so easy to waste time, especially in Ramadan. Because a person may feel, how do I kill time? How do I keep myself occupied so I don't get bored, and then I'm going to focus on my hunger, on my thirst, and it becomes more difficult. If I keep myself busy doing something, the time is going to go by fast. Especially the last few hours of iftari. Before iftar time, maybe the last 2 hours, 3 hours, right? What can I do? Because now the pangs of hunger is building now. Let me busy myself. And what do some people do? Many youngsters, many grown-ups as well, gaming. Because in today's time, lots of the gaming is so realistic that the person immerses themselves in a different world. And so, a person can spend hours gaming, even linking online with others, and in real time, gaming with them, even with strangers as well. So gaming, this is one of the main factors that a person may waste their time. Hanging around with friends, just talking unnecessary things, engaging in frivolous activities, and just wasting their time, just to pass the time by. Allahu Akbar. I mean, we don't know if there's going to be another Ramadan for us. These factors, like gaming, like constantly doom scrolling on social media and reels, shorts, like watching binge, watching TV, they are thieves. These thieves are not stealing our money. They're stealing our time. They steal our focus, our concentration, they steal the rewards, the sincerity, and our connection to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our connection to the glorious Quran. And the worst part is, many of us open the doors for these thieves. We invite them in. We invite them and we engage in playing those games for hours, in sleeping. Yes, the sleeping person who's fasting also gets reward. But it's going to make you, if you oversleep, it's going to make you lethargic and lazy, and that's going to affect you later on your Taraweeh Salah. So think about it. That this is the time to gain maximum. Could be my last Ramadan. So you know what we need? A timetable. Write it down or type it out. And do your best to follow it. By doing this, believe me, you will fill those spaces, those gaps, where if you feel that, you know what, when I come back from work, I still got an hour, 2 hours, and let me just pass the time, let me sleep, or let me play, or let me go onto social media and pass the time by. Did you read the Quran today? Ask yourself, today did I read the Quran? Did I make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Did I make istighfar, salawat, durood-e paak? Did I learn something of deen today? So create a practical timetable and tailor it according to your timings. Some people work night shift. Some people work 8 hours, 9 hours, 12 hours. So tailor it according to your convenience, according to your timings. But don't waste the time. Yes, if you want to catch a little nap, qailula, the afternoon siesta, which is a sunnah, for those performing tahajjud salah, then this will rejuvenate you, especially it will help for Taraweeh time. Speaking about tahajjud, on your list, this is the first thing that should be on your list. Because now it's easy for most of us, for all those who are fasting, who are getting up for sahur we shouldn't miss. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us that khajur, dates, is ideal for sahur, for sari. Some people feel, no, that is, you know, iftar time, that's when the dates and water must be eaten and drunk. Sari time also, it's sunnah. It's encouraged by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have khajur for sahur. So let's try to practice upon that as well, inshallah, even if it's one. But make the intention, I'm having this to gain for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain energy so I can do ibadat, and it is a sunnah. Multiple intentions equal more rewards. Subhanallah azza wa jal. So you're getting up, and after your dua, after making your good intentions and making your bed, brushing your teeth, make wudu. Perform your tahajjud salah. Minimum 2 rakat. 8 rakat are proven to be sunnah as well. But minimum 2 rakat. And then you can also perform 2 rakats. Tahiyyatul wudu, Salatul Tawbah, Subhanallah, the more the merrier. And make dua. It's a beautiful time to make dua. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever missed his tahajjud salah. Subhanallah. And imagine 30 days. You'll become habitual with it now. And then you go and have your sari. How long it'll take you tahajjud? 15 minutes, 20 minutes? So your timing now. I need to wake up at this time. So much of time for istinja wudu, so much of time for tahajjud, so much of time for sari, for sahur. Till the ending time, till fajr begins. Give yourself an hour, 20 minutes, whatever it is, according to what is ideal for you. Remember your list, your timetable. Something practical, something simple, something that is not going to tire you out in after 2 days and 3 days and after that, nothing. And then of course your Fajr Salah. Men folk should make their way to the masjid, Islamic sisters in their homes. After Fajr, recite some Quran. You don't need to recite large amounts. What you are able to, till the time that you know your full concentration is there. But what should be your minimum aim? The other day we shared that one juz, one para has, let's say, approximately 30 pages. Four quarters, about 7-8 pages each. So we round it off, 30 pages, one para. And if you're going to divide that by the five daily salahs, that's 6 pages. So after Fajr Salah, or even before Fajr Salah, after Tahajjud, it may take you half an hour, 45 minutes, 6 pages, every Salah time. If you do this in 30 days, you'll be able to cover the 30 paras, one para per day. So remember, Fajr, Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, 6 pages, 6 pages, 6 pages, 6 pages, 6 pages equals 30 pages equals approximately one juz, one para. So you have your Quran there. Now, if you have a gap, if you have a space, then part of your timetable, men who are attending Fajr at the masjid, then we have the Madani Halqa where the tafsir and tarjama of the Quran is done. Islamic sisters can do it in their homes. Translation of the Quran from Kanzul Iman, minimum 3 verses a day. And tafsir from Miftahul Ihsan. So subhanAllah Azza wa Jal. In the beginning of the day, your tahajjud is done, your fajr is done, recitation of some Quran is done, your tarjama, translation and tafsir is done. What a beautiful way to start your day. We all can do this, even our Islamic sisters in the comfort of their homes can do this as well. Keep your kids around you. Let them also listen. Let them also observe what my mother is doing, what my father is doing. And thereafter, 20 minutes after sunrise, include this also, Salatul Ishraq, 2 rakat. Salatul Duha, 2 rakat. Make dua after these salahs. There's immense rewards. Then go to work. You come back from work. Then subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, it might be an hour, 2 hours left for iftari. What else can I do? Blessings of Ramadan is such a book that gives you more or less A to Z of Ramadan. It gives you the different waqi'at, Quranic verses, ahadith, aqawal, the sayings of the pious people, Sahaba Alim Ridwan, regarding Ramadan. Many incidences and narrations are there. Rules of fasting are there. Take out 12 minutes, 15 minutes of your time for the day. Read over that. You're empowering yourself with authentic Islamic knowledge. SubhanAllah Azza wa Jal. What else can I do? What about your Durood Sharif? Minimum is 313 times for the day. When you're traveling to work, read Durood Sharif. Coming back from work, read Durood Sharif. Or make istighfar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Make dhikrullah. Some tasbihat. So you're traveling to work or coming back, but you're getting thawab because you engage in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You engage in the recitation of salawat and durood-e paak. SubhanAllah Azza wa Jal. And then is iftar time. After iftar, especially men folk, try not to eat too much. Have a balanced meal. Even your normal out of Ramadan meals that you cook, cook in Ramadan also. It is not necessary that we must have pies and samosas. It's not necessary. Today, you know, you get people, you know, trying to choose what dish to have. There's so many dishes. Hey, look at the lovely colors and the lovely smells. And what dish I must you take first? You got to try one of each. Which one first? So they're busy trying to choose the first dish to taste when we are supposed to be choosing what du'as to make. Because at the time of iftar is one of the times of acceptance of du'a. Some sisters will be at home with their children, with the other ladies. Sit down. Lay the table. Time yourself, part of your timetable, right? 15 minutes before iftar time, I'm going to set the table, get the kids to help, get others to help. Put whatever savories or curries or whatever you're having, put it on the khajur, the water. And then 5 minutes, 7 minutes before, sit down. Everybody must be sitting down. All devices away. Dua. One of the people whose du'as are readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fasting person, especially at the time of iftari. Men folk will join our centers, our masajid, our jainamazes of Dawud Islami, where we have munajat iftar. So few minutes before iftar, we open our fast, we do collective dua. And did you know that one of the du'as which are readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a gathering where one person is making du'a and others are saying Ameen. Like we have in our sunnah inspired ijtima of Dawud Islami every week. At the end, towards the end. So munajat iftar is that. The Imam sahab, the Mawlana sahab is making the du'a. And everybody else saying Ameen. Make dua. That's one of the great times for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, His forgiveness, for His blessings, for His bounties, for protection of Iman. Make dua for yourself, for your family, for your children, for your relatives, for your friends. Make dua for all marhumeen as well. So you see, we can do many productive things, many positive things to empower ourselves. And if you're connected to this fragrant Madani movement of Dawud Islami, all these opportunities are there. These reminders are there to build our spirituality, to subdue and control the nafs, the desires. The nafs is also going to try and advise you towards wasting of your time. It's also a thief, especially in Ramadan. To that later, man. You know, they say procrastination is the thief of time. Yes, during Ramadan, Iblis, the cursed and rejected one, the disgraced one, is chained up in the hellfire for the whole period of Ramadan. Nafs is still there. Scholars have told us, if a person asks if shaitan is chained up, how come, you know, I'm still inclined towards sometimes wrong things? The nafs. You imagine, 11 months I have become habitual with committing certain sins. All of a sudden now, I expect it to vanish because Ramadan is here. Yes, it helps with shaitan chained up, locked up, and with fasting itself, which is the ideal number one thing to suppress, to control, to overpower the desires, the nafsul ammara. It helps. Because you see many more people performing ibadat in Ramadan as opposed to out of Ramadan. You see many more people reciting the glorious Quran, performing more nawafil, tahajjud is there, salatul taraweeh is there, engage in ibadat and a more calmer. You know, they say, and a hungry man is an angry man. Who does it apply to? When you are fasting, yes, you may be hungry. Some people may not feel the hunger. But generally, you may be hungry. But you know, this is part of self-restraint, of controlling your emotions, controlling yourself. You might be thirsty. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And your fasting itself, yes, it is a physical medical detox. So it's also a spiritual detox. It's the ideal time to get rid of bad habits, to get rid of nasty things that we do, that we say, that we see, that we hear. How good deeds are multiplied, so too our bad deeds, they are also multiplied. Because this is a holy, blessed, glorious month. A guest from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a special guest who's here for 30 days. And if I'm violating the rights of my guest, what does it say about me then? I'm a no good host. So Ramadan is there for this period of time, and we should do our best. Some people, they engage in gossip to pass the time. Backbiting to pass the time. Allahu Akbar. Do you remember those two people who were fasting and their stomachs were paining? And in the summary of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ told them, go and vomit. They said, no, but we haven't eaten anything. And they vomited pieces of flesh of meat. And then he was told they were engaging in backbiting. And backbiting is like eating the flesh of your dead Muslim brother. Gossiping, backbiting, joking, just to pass the time. Let's be the better person. Let's reform this Ramadan of ours individually. And Ramadan will reform us. Because vain talks, frivolous activities, concerning ourselves with something that doesn't concern us, it's a waste of time. It's a thief of our time. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that from the beauty of a person's religion is his abandonment of that which does not concern him. Hakim al-Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Na'imi rahmatullah ta'ala, says, he explains that a perfect Muslim avoids actions, movements, and inaction which neither benefit him in this world nor the next. He should only do or say that which is beneficial. Beneficial for him in this world or the next world. The goodness of both worlds is tied to these two statements. So seriously reflect and think. You know, scholars have mentioned something so profound, and this, it will do you good if you apply it, whether in Ramadan or out of Ramadan. What is that? Before you utter anything, before you say anything, before you do anything, pause. So they talk about, you know, the pause, the power of the pause. Pause for a few moments and think to yourself, what I want to say now, what I want to do now, does Islam, the Sharia, the Quran, the Hadith, Allah and Rasul Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, allow it or not? Number one question, think. If I don't know, ask those who know, the righteous Sunni ulama or the muftis, Sunni muftis. So, is it allowed or not? Number one question. Number two, so what I want to do or say, will it lead to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his displeasure? Will it lead to the pleasure of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or his displeasure? Will it be pleasing to shaitan and my nafs, my desires? Second question. Third question. Will this be written down in my book of deeds as something good or bad on the day of judgment? Next question. Will this action or these words and sentences of mine, Will it be for me or against me on the day of judgment? Next question. Will it be a form of disgrace and humiliation for me on the day of judgment? So these things, if you train your brain, then very quickly you can go through these things. In the beginning, it might take a little bit of time for you to think, ponder, contemplate. If everything is checked or if everything is positive from these questions, say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and go ahead. Make good intentions and go ahead. It will be beneficial. And if there's negative answers to those questions, better. Silence is golden. Better not to do that action. Better not to say that thing. Simple. Something so simple, anybody can do it. Islam wants us to live consciously. This is why we always talk about good intentions. Amir Ahl-Sunnah, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, a Kamil Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, a great saint and scholar of Islam, the founder of Dawud Islami, who is followed by tens of millions around the world. You'll notice he's created this kind of environment. Make good intentions. Make good intentions. Make good intentions. Before doing any good deed, anything permissible, make good intentions beforehand. So you don't lose the reward. And Ramadan time, I want to invest your time in extra ibadat. If we are serious about this, believe me, you will taste the sweetness of knowledge, the sweetness of ibadat. Subhanallah. So what else can we do? After your iftari, after Maghrib Salah, then men folk may return home for a while, relax with the family, spend some time with the family, with the children, what you read before, or do a 5-minute dars, home dars, 12-minute home dars from Blessings of Ramadan, or from some other booklet of Dawud Islami, or from Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah's magnum opus, his masterpiece, Faizani Sunnah. Excellence of Hunger is there. Blessings of Bismillah is there. Blessings of Ramadan is a chapter of Faizani Sunnah as well. Kya baat hai Madini ki? It's overloaded with beneficial knowledge, authentic knowledge. Sit with the family. They say, every single day, minimum, spend 20 to 25 minutes with your children, with your kids. It's not necessarily that you have to play with them for that time. Be physically, mentally present over there. Even if they are busy with their homework, but your physical presence is there. If they are playing with their toys, little children, your physical presence is there. My Ammi, my Abba is here. That's in their mind. My Ammi and Abba, when they come to you, look what I drew. Nice, okay. Give full attention. MashaAllah. What a great effort you've put in. Praise the effort that lasts longer. And you can ask them, you know, MashaAllah, beautiful effort. What do you think about it? Instead of just saying, yeah, well done, ask their opinion. And sometimes what happens is, kids, when it's about sleeping time, they start talking non-stop on different matters, on different things. And some parents, you know, we get upset, frustrated. Hey, keep quiet now. What's wrong? It's sleeping time now. You know, psychologists, they say, whether it's accurate or not, Allah Rasul A'lam. Allah and His Rasul knows best. They say that the reason kids, they do this is to spend like more time with you. Because parents, fathers in particular, parents in general, spend a lot of less time. Kids are gone to school, kids are gone to madrasa, parents are at work, father is at work, mother is busy in the home. So a lot of less time is spent. But that is a way of them to, like, I'm still connected. The signal is still open. The Wi-Fi signal is still on before it goes off in a sleepaway. I'm still connected to my mother, to my father. It's like a safety thing. Even if they don't understand it, but like psychologically, that connection, that touch is there with your presence. So don't be a parent who is offline. Tell them about the waqi'at of Ramadan. Home dars, at least 12 minutes when you come back from Maghrib to our fathers, our brothers, husbands out there, sons out there. So you will be creating a beautiful environment in the home and the family you're putting together. You're solidifying connections, relations as well, and learning something of deen from authentic sources. And of course, men will be off once again to the masjid for Isha, for Taraweeh Salah. Islamic sisters will read Taraweeh Salah in the comfort of their homes. So, create a timetable. By organizing your life, organizing your time, you will be able to squeeze out the maximum for the day. Try to make minds of others not to waste their time, to plan in accordance with their targets, with their goals, even life goals as well. You may even want to make separate lists, maybe lists for daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. I mean, this is like we're talking about a full-time timesheet or a list, a timetable. But use Ramadan as a time to create something that you can extend even post Ramadan. Let's watch a short clip and we'll be right back. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sayyid Mahmood Kurdi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, states, my beloved mother told me that her father, which is my grandfather, his name was Muhammad, and he left me a will saying that when I pass away and have been given a bath, means after my ghusl is performed, then a small green colored letter will fall on my shroud from the roof. Allahu Akbar. He then said, it will be written on it that هَذِهِ بَرَاءَةُ مُحَمَّدٍ الْعَالِمِ بِعِلْمِهِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Allahu Akbar. That is, Muhammad, who is a scholar, has attained freedom from the hellfire due to knowledge. Allahu Akbar. So he said that place that small letter inside my shroud. So she says that when he left this world and when he passed away, after the ghusl was completed and after his body was covered in the shroud, in the coffin, then that letter fell down. And when people read it, then I placed it on his blessed chest. Subhanallah. So she says that one special thing about that letter was that the way it was readable from the front, similarly, it was readable from the back of the page as well. Allahu Akbar. Normally, when we write something, we can only see it from one side. If we turn the page around, we can't see the writing or the drawing as we see it from the front. But she says the wonderful thing was, as you could read it from the front, similarly, you could also read it from the back as well. Subhanallah. So he says that, I asked my mother, what action did my grandfather do that he has gained this rank from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? She says, my mother replied, subhanallah, kana aktharu amalihi dawamu dhikri ma'a kathrati salati ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. She says that what he used to do was that along with performing the zikr of Allah Almighty, he would always recite salat upon the holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abundantly as well. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with it the durood and the citation of salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has such a high rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that indeed what a great bounty was received by this wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everyone should make an intention of reciting abundance of durood upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It's always something to learn in this environment of Dawat Islami. So join today, don't delay, don't allow shaitan or the nafs or other people to persuade you not to join. Because the one regret you will have is, why didn't I join earlier? Attend the weekly Sunnah inspired Ijtima of Dawat Islami. Travel with the qafilas of Dawat Islami in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Enroll in Madrasatul Madina. Enroll your kids also in Jami'atul Madina, Darul Madina Islamic School. Read the weekly booklet. Every week a new booklet is released. Or listen to the audiobook. Read the monthly Fizan-e Madina magazine. Fill out and act upon your nek a'mal, pious deeds every single day. Even in Ramadan as well. It's going to help greatly. How many Ramadans have arrived and gone? And time thieves steal our moments, and then comes Eid, and then we celebrate. But if I haven't changed, if I haven't changed my life, if there's no significant reform, what have I gained? Don't waste it. And this message, firstly for myself, and then for you as well. Don't let thieves steal a Ramadan that you may never see again. Don't let thieves steal a Ramadan that you may never see again. Like so many, they're gone. They were there last Ramadan and they're gone. This could be our final Ramadan. We don't know. Next one, where will we be? Maybe 6 feet under. So every moment of Ramadan, enjoy your ibadat with full concentration and focus, and you'll see immense blessings in your life. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.